We start now in this part, finally, of Paschal time. You see, we have many, many texts now from chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, which is our Lord's discourse. We've had so many accounts of his miracles and his healing and his teaching, and now we're going to have these discourses as we prepare for Pentecost. In the first reading, we see this rhythm that Paul always goes to the Jews first, like God did. And only when, if they reject him, does he move on. But I want to talk about this gospel a bit. The first promise is this: if you know me, you will also know my Father. So the great effort of the Christian life is to know Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Well, first, we read the Gospels. Just get to know how he thinks, what he's done. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will bring us to penetrate to the source of those words and actions, who is the eternal Word of God himself. It's not the words that matter. It's the person. The words are wonderful, and they bring us. But what we want to know is Christ. All I want to know is Christ and him crucified. It's very important in a way, because sometimes we think reading the Bible means knowing the words. It doesn't. It's a help, of course. It means knowing the Word, leading us to Jesus, you see. And I promise you, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, he's always the straight man. You notice that? In chapter 6, for the multiplication, who does Jesus ask? Where are we going to get enough bread for all these people? He asked Philip. And he did that testing him, John says. And Augustine says, testing him, not that Jesus might know Philip, he knows him, but that Philip might know himself. And so Philip says, just show us the Father, that'll be enough. Jesus says, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Now, those words are meant to bring us to another level of prayer. When do we see Jesus? What does that mean? To have our spirit understand him, grasp him, be in contact with him. And because he is the total expression of the Father, we see the Father. And we get to know the Father. And he goes on to say the same about it. The words I speak, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. That is a theme throughout all the gospel. My works reveal the Father. And so, if we want to understand the works, we have to see the face of the Father. Even now, the works that Jesus does, you see, are meant to bring us to know the Father. Jesus is preoccupied with the Father, with an internal, infinite preoccupation. How could he talk about anything else? How could he be revealing anything else but the Father? I am the Son, you see. Or believe because of the works themselves. Why? Because, as he says elsewhere, it's the Father in me doing the works. And so the works reveal the Father. That's why he promises the apostles they'll do greater works than he does. Why? Because they will be doing the works of Christ, who now radiant and glorious, even transformed in his humanity, is revealing the Father in a deeper way. That's why. The works, I haven't moved many mountains, you know. I haven't healed many blind people. What does it mean I do greater works than Jesus? It's impossible. But if I do what the Lord is doing in me, it reveals in a new way the Father, because now Jesus is in glory. And all the radiance of the Father shines through him. See, that's why he says, if you believe in me, you do the works that I do and do greater ones than these. Would you like to do greater works than Jesus? Do greater signs and wonders than Jesus? That's not what it's saying. If you do what I tell you, if your heart is purified, if you accept the purification that I send you, even the difficult ones, then when you do a sign and a wonder, it reveals me where I am now in heaven. And that's a greater work. You see? And finally, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you see this? If you read some of these patristic commentaries, or even Sor St. Thomas, this is where they zoom in, because this is discourse about the Trinity, not about works. The works reveal the Trinity. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Now, you see, that's already in this life. I brought this book down because I mentioned it yesterday and I thought you might want to know more about it. This book by Charles Amigeon, called The End of the Present World and the Mysteries of the Future Life. Thérèse, St. Thérèse, her blurb is at the bottom. Reading this book was one of the greatest graces of my life. Why? Because she got it straight. What's life all about? Making money? You know, being a great apostle in some way? No. It's about being with God forever. And because that polarized her, and she saw the greatness of the mercy of the Father wanting to bring us all into this place, you see, she gave herself as a victim to the merciful love of God so that more and more people would come forever to be with the Father. And that was the driving force of her life. You know, and that's why the greatest trial she had the last year or so of her life, complete dark. You know, she had to just believe with the tiny, tiny, fine point of her soul that she was on the way to heaven. And she did. And because she did that, you know, she has won the grace of conversion for thousands and thousands of atheists. Because it's my little title, nobody else's. She's the patron saint of atheists because she's lived through that darkness of thinking you die, they put you in the ground, that's it. And she's lived through that with only this fine point of her soul clinging to the Father like Jesus on the cross. And because of that, many atheists come through that grace present again in the world, come to God and know him. So I just, as I mentioned it yesterday, I thought maybe it'd be good to it's in English now. That's an English book I got there. Forgot to mention.